Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Game Dev Unchained, the number one game development podcast about game development and the lifestyle thereof. I am your host, and always will be, Brandon Pham. And joining me, not just one, not two, but three special guests from the Raji team. I'm going to do my best here. Ian, Trudy, and Avichal. How you doing, guys? All right. So, sorry for the techno difficulties, but this is going to get rolling, and an hour going to pass by really fast. Awesome. So, I actually... I had like an indirect introduction to you guys. I was at GDC when that was still going on a couple of years ago, and I saw you guys' game at the booths a while back, and it was instantly one of those that really stuck out. And I think we can get into it a bit. So this kind of goes into a little bit of Indian ancient history. From what I can tell, right? And what's very unique, at least from my first impression of it, was that it's unique. Like, it's not about aliens. It's not about zombies, right? It was very rich in content, and something that, of course, with Indian ancient history, there's a lot of it to discover. So let's just start from there. Like, was that more of you guys want to represent your country, and more knowing that rich history, that there is a game here that's not being told, and as part of like the game development scene is building over there, that this was the perfect time for you guys to come out with Raji?
I mean, yeah, the fact that we had transitioned from gamers to game developers ourselves, and we had grown up knowing that there doesn't exist a game offer dreams, you know, where you play as an Indian character and you're going around in an Indian environment. I think that was the first kind of a thought that, and knowing that we had the skills to pull it off. I mean, this is going back in 2014 when Ian, Shruti and me, we met, and this was at a design college, and we knew like we are surrounded by talented folks. There's, we know people who can pull this off, and you know, if it were ever to become a team, things didn't materialize for the next 2 years, and you know, almost 2.5 years later is when we all got together, and the idea was that to put India on the map, on the game dev map, and it can only be done with a high quality game, and that was a mission. And so many people have reached out to us. You know, just now, like a few minutes ago, one of the biggest rappers in Indian scene has just reached out to us on Instagram saying it was his dream to make something like this, and we've done it for him. And we've got a lot of messages like that. And so it's humbling to see that, you know, the full circle is complete with Raji, of what it started with and what people are, you know, perceiving it as.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking about billions of people and thousands of years of history in Indian culture that is now just starting to be represented in the game development sector, right? I can only imagine that game development is still growing over there, and very much like, at least I'm... I'm Vietnamese, right? From the Asian history, it's not really that accepted as a career just yet. I mean, sort of, right? It's very new. But when I try to tell my parents I'm making games, it's like, oh, what? I mean, what about other things? don't you want to make a living? So it's still very new. And I can only imagine over there, it's somewhat like that, or is it like more accepted now, or it is a thing among college students?
I think people are, it is very young, the gaming industry here. There's only like a handful of studios doing games for PC and consoles, but the market, you know, the industry has grown. I think there's now 300 plus studios here in India. And, but is it being perceived as a actual profession that parents or, you know, the elderly are aware of? That is, yeah, that's not there yet. Even we have a lot of trouble explaining our own jobs back home. Yeah. People think I'm an animator and I have no idea how to explain them what a game design, what does it do? Even to my own friends, actually.
Yeah.
Forget the generations. Even to the people who studied with me in school, it's not easy to explain them. But the change has to start, and we can say Raji, you know, I'll just give you a short story. We connected with a 2D animator, I think 1 week ago, and he told us that Raji was the first game his mom and dad sat together with him and watched the entire thing, and that has never happened in his entire life. And of course, he was got told not to play too much or, you know, do something else or do something better. But Raji was the first game to do so. And very recently, you know, the Prime Minister of India also came in support that we should be making games on Indian folklore. So it's a start. We are just starting. But of course, these things take years and even decades and generations to, you know, go into the mindset of people that it's an actual industry and something that your kid can pursue. And I think Ian and Shruti have seen this throughout college. They were game trainers and they had parent-teacher meetings with the, you know, the students as parents.
But I guess with artists, it's a lot more, like in India, there's a lot more game artists and artists who are working on animated series and movies. So I think that's a lot more accepted in India. There's a lot more people who are aware about it, like being an animator or an artist or character artist, environment artist who can work on all these stuff that goes into games and movies. But yes, to explain, probably a designer and a programmer is something still not in picture yet. Oh. But definitely artists is something even parents are slowly opening up to, because there's so many studios in India that outsource, and it's a profession like people look on to, yeah. And they do a lot of courses for 3D softwares and stuff. So yeah, mm-hmm. That's a lot more accepted, and people do understand that much at least.
Well, I just wanted to say that when I started out in the industry 20 years ago, it was my dad said to me, you know, what do you do? And you know, he's got no idea. And I think the best way that I could describe it to him, I said, listen, I'm a virtual painter and decorator. And as soon as I said that, he went, oh, okay, I get you. I understand.
Yeah.
My mum, I had to go back and get my visa sorted out a couple of years ago. And because I was doing the characters, I sat down and, you know, obviously took my work home with me. And then she just literally just looked over my shoulder and just looked at what I was doing. And then I broke it down for her and showed her how everything works and so on in very, very layman terms. And then it clicked. I could see the light bulb just click on them, you know, with her. She said, you know, the hours that you dedicate to your craft is amazing. You know you've all got very good work ethics and you know commend us on that. But in many regards, it's only until like our generations now that you know, so my sister, you know, she's got a young boy, and he's at what, 12, 13 years old, so he loves Fortnite and stuff like that. And he's got our game recently, and he's playing it, and he's loving it. You know, he said, I didn't pay him to say that, but he said he's loving it. You know, it is just one of these things. It is generational. It is generational. And it's also people in India, families, it's... I think the expectation is similar to England. The expectation is that you're following the footsteps of so-and-so. So you're going to be a lawyer, engineer, doctor, etc. But when you say something of the arts, that's when people are a little bit worrisome, I suppose, because you know, they don't know too much about it.
Yeah, the role of a starving artist, I think, is very true. And the game development scene, if anything, is very competitive, right? So I come from the game development as well. And I did see like an evolution. I've only been in the industry for 12, 13 years. But even in those 12, 13 years at the beginning, it was very much like how you guys describe your job to people who were curious. You know, I start very basic. He's like, I'm a 3D artist. And it's like, and then if they ask more, it's like, oh, I work in the game industry. If they ask more, it's like, I make the world, is what they asked more of the environment. So there was like, you got to piecemeal it to people. I made the first mistake of just like explaining everything, and you just see their eyes kind of roll back in their head. It just goes over. And again, the same thing is what Avichel was talking about. They just assume everyone's in animation because they can. Most people see the TV and things are on the TV. It's like you're on TV. You do TV stuff. It's like, no, I do games. So I think iPhones, the age of Fortnite, has helped greatly the last few years for people to kind of respect game development as a thing, because now they see it everywhere, and they now kind of know, like, at least gamers make money, right? And then and then fall down to the game developer. So it was nice kind of see that evolution kind of going through. But what I'm also very interested in what you guys are doing is that you're ushering in a whole new voice into the game development scene. I think there's the Western, then the Eastern, like Far Eastern game development scene, and some European cropping up. But I think Asian games are still underrepresented, and a lot of it is just like what we're saying. It's just we're seeing colleges starting to offer game development as a course or as a degree now, and accessibility has gotten a lot easier with tools. An army of 10 developers have the same tools as an army of 300 plus developers. That's only happened recently to kind of lower the bar with everybody. You guys were kind of mentioning you guys were instructors and teachers over there too. I mean, what changes have you guys seen in that evolution in the last 5-10 years in terms of quality of students, in terms of students of interest? I mean, where are these students finding it? Are they just scouring the internet for you guys? How are these accessibility happening over there in India?
There's probably few that, you know, decent schools that offer such courses. And you know, we were involved with the interview process all the way through to, you know, when they're passing out. You know, and we've got particular standards that we employed. You know, we rewrote the curriculum because it wasn't up to present standards or, you know, today's skill sets at that particular time. And, you know, it was funny because I recall, I remember some of the students when they turned around and said to us, our standards are too high. And we just turned around and said, this is industry standard.
Yeah.
You know, this is, if you can't hack this, then, you know, you're going to have to really sit down and practice or, you know, really question, why are you here? You know, what do you want to do? You know, and so, you know, we had that sort of with some of the students. You know, yeah, you know, some good ones that really wanted to just knuckle down and get on with it. And
what I would like to add is, like, when I was, so after I did my degree, I did a small course in animation and 3D art. So basically the softwares. So that's when people around, like artists who were especially coming out, the thought process, the way things were approached were very different. Like it was more like stuff that's given to me. I'm just going to do that, like, and move on. Like it's more of this is my reference image. This is how I'm going to approach it. And that's what my end result is going to be, like very, very, yeah, exactly. Like approach was like this is my way and I'm not going to think otherwise or try something.
I'm not going to deviate from that.
Yeah. But when we were teaching in that college, like more, it was more of a broad thinking, like how this will help in the game and thinking about the broader, bigger picture and not just like how your job is related with design team and how it affects the game and all the other stuff, the technical stuff that needs to be thought about is also like a lot of artists. Like now you have branches, you have tech artists, you have artists that specialize in certain, then there are generalists. So these things were not prevalent before, but now people are like artists, especially when we were teaching, the students were a lot more aware. Yeah, they were doing their research online. They were part of communities. They were talking to people, artists around the world. They were following artists on ArtStation. They were a lot more aware of what the standard is, and they wanted to reach a certain standard and had an aspiration to be in certain companies or start their own game or like anything. Like, so that's what was different, I think, from what when like just the industry started or how artists were made in like
because it's like, you know, remember with the students as well, you know, we were literally like saying, yeah, get these off and open them up a little bit like this. But
a lot of them were like that from start. Like
from the start, the very beginning. But, you know,
because right now, internet, it's got so much source. There are so many online courses. All artists even share their approach to how they do their projects. So, like, there's so much material out there. Like, anyone who has the passion for it can definitely learn and...
Well, just quickly, one of the wonderful things that I got the students to do, and Shrew and I, you know, we've got like 30 odd years between us experience, probably more now. And I said to the students, I said, I might have a lot of experience, but I don't know everything. And I said, by the end of the academic year, I want you to show me something I don't know. Mm-hmm. And that got the
That's opening up for some I told you personal professor. Oh my god. But that is the best part. I think a lot of the what you're talking about, you know, I used to teach as well on the side. Well, what's great about that, it actually, just like any type of teaching in any industry, it actually helps you with your fundamentals going through. Is like, oh man, I actually have to tell people how to do this one thing that I've forgotten about or really, you know, self-educated more on. And it was a very rewarding experience because you're constantly thinking about game development and the other aspects of game development and not just crunching all the time. And what's also rewarding, and I'm sure you guys are seeing this a lot, you're seeing a new crop of students that are inspiring and motivating you in content. And actually, I kind of see it as my own type of personal spyware to kind of see, all right, where am I right now? How do I rank? Are these students outgrowing me right now? Like, do I need to sharpen my skills? I mean, how good are they, right? Because it's just one of those things. It is a younger industry. And since every 5 years or even less now, there's newer tools and things we have to constantly adapt to make better. And if your finger isn't on the pulse, you're going to lose track and fall behind really quickly. And so being a teacher helps with that, helps with you evolving as a game developer. And I find a lot of old veterans that have many years in the industry, sit at the desk to do their job really well, soon get pretty outdated because they don't have that interaction of knowing what's going on outside of their cubicle, basically. So another topic that I've been kind of bringing up with a lot of developers, indie especially. So this year have sucked, right? Which is the easiest way to say it. You guys just recently released last month, and I'm sure like the marketing, the GDC, the E3, all these events that you guys had lined up last year got derailed in a big way. And there was a lot of adaptation that had to happen for you guys to put this game out and make some noise, right? Let's just first kind of talk about how's the situation over there with India and COVID, or not good, not does it just completely
we just dropped the highest number of cases on the planet,
like, oh wow,
even higher than US yesterday, I think.
Yeah,
well, give us a sec.
Yeah,
it's 80,000 something in a day.
In a day? Jeez.
Yeah.
80,000 cases in a day.
So we've been crunching since February. Like, we were crunching before also, but like the lockdown started in February.
Yeah.
And of course, the Nintendo thing was happening in August. So, you know, the hardcore crunch started. And we were like, you know, 6 months, 7 months, 8 months, it'll be over. We'll finish this, go on a vacation.
Go to the beach.
Go to a beach, go somewhere, like whatever. And now it's like we worked so hard and we are now just trapped. Like we can't even do anything. We can't go.
We can't go anywhere. It's like under house arrest.
Yeah, but even like it has affected our stuff with team as well, where things could be easily solved by talking to each other in a room. We have to always be on, like, a lot of our team members are not in India, but majority of the team is in Pune, so it just was easier. At least the core team was in Pune, and it was easier.
Yeah, everyone under one roof.
Yeah. So at least, especially when we were about to launch and where we needed everyone together, it was a lot harder for us. But I guess we
just had to adapt, because we saw it coming, and so we got the team. We dispersed the team and, you know, just like take the computers, etc., and just prepare and go home. Because the worst thing that we wanted to happen was for anyone to be affected with this. And then unfortunately, that would have affected the development schedule. Obviously, health comes first. So, yeah, we had to just like, you know, make sure that we actually forced Deepan and Jalay to live together.
That's
sad. That's a tech artist and one of the coders. And so they went off with all the dev kits because they needed it. And it's as simple as that. And, you know, we're constantly talking on, you know, Slack and Discord.
And later, me and a lead programmer, Paras, we had to, I think, visit them for almost 2 weeks every day because, we had to test the game. And so some bugs were supposed to be solved locally. And, and things keep coming up when you're near launch, of course. So we had to do that. That was, not the difficult. I mean, it doesn't feel difficult, but it probably was.
Yeah. There's definitely a lot of challenges with this one. I think it tests every type of relationship, colleagues, husband and wife, son and father. Like, it was just like, it was intense. It was like, I think we had like a 3-year experience fast forward for everything. And just like, I kind of joke around. Couples especially are going to come out pregnant or divorced after this pandemic. There's the two options. Game development. Okay, so far. You made it.
We haven't
but like, each other yet. It was intense. It was an intense because I was a permanent remotely. I worked from home before the pandemic happened. But, you know, we like most people that work from home, we had a routine. We go to gym. We do other things outside of being at home. And this was intense for me because suddenly I'm schooling my children because of like the schools were closed all of a sudden. And so I had to act like, I was a teacher before. Now I'm teaching and Zoom calling in these business. It's impossible. It's even to this point, I think, even though it's gotten a little better, it was such a learning curve for even for me who was used at being home. So I can imagine people who are kind of use the office as an escape suddenly finding themselves at home stuck in this like reality of theirs. Right. It's a bit much. Yeah.
Studio is a part of our apartment, our home. So
we never get away from it.
So we're always, but like you said, for me also, it was an escape to go to the gym or at least have some way of escape to go somewhere. And we were just like stuck between computer and our
home. It's horrible. It really is. I mean, it's like, we've got computers over there linked up, ready to go for light baking, and I'm just like got the chairs going back and forth.
Back and forth, like admin. Yeah.
Okay. Someone's pressed something in the level, and now the lighting's broken. It's like, oh, great.
Yeah.
All right, and then we've got to go back and do that another 5 hours of baking. It's like, don't touch it.
Yeah.
And this is all happens. It's like Pandora's box. It all opens up, and everything just comes around and just goes.
Yeah.
Just before we go to launch something. But yeah, it's been very challenging. Mm-hmm. And recently we are going back to the gym. Well, not the gym, but we're outdoors doing gym stuff.
Hey, but now again, we should reconsider it knowing how many cases.
Yeah, you guys are beating us. You guys should stay inside if anything.
We already beat you, man. Like,
yeah, you're already beating us. Well, yeah. We'll talk next week because I see it. I think that's the frustrating part. It's just it's not like the numbers don't align with what I see. I go outside my neighborhood and I see people just walking around with no mask on or there's just at least in the States, it's so politicized where common decency or common sense with health. It's like, man, people used to wear masks when they had the flu. It's like, why is this any different? It's frustrating. It really tests your relationship with everybody, who you trust, who you don't trust. Suddenly I have less friends now when I ever see it just happened like that. It's like, wow, okay. But like you guys said, you were forced to in this situation. And what I found surprising too, I always thought the smaller teams would have a better adjustment than the bigger teams, right? Like, the Activision, all these big companies suddenly having to do it at home. It just seems like they have a lot more wheels to turn to make this happen. But as I was talking to these smaller and smaller teams, it's difficult too, because communication is still the problem. People do prefer talk. What used to take 2 seconds to turn around in your chair and ask a question.
Exactly.
It's a whole thing now. And
Zoom fatigue, all that stuff. Our gameplay team was in one room, and now we're like, it's a, you have to bypass several, you have to ask for person one and then he'll check with person two and then you'll get to know. And, things get lost in transition.
Oh, yeah.
But I think we've done a pretty good job because we did release the game and we did manage to do it. It was insanity at some point, at many points. It
didn't change at all because of the COVID. Our schedule did not change.
You're right.
We continued with what we had to do, and we had to hit our milestones all the way along. And we've had to adapt.
Yeah, and also with the Indie World Showcase, we couldn't miss that.
Oh talk. God, no.
Yeah, that set the deadline.
Which one is that? Sorry, I missed that. Which event?
We launched through Indie Game World, right? Nintendo. Oh, okay. Yeah, so that was an opportunity. Of course, we cannot let go, and we had to do it. And I remember when the lockdown started and the early couple of months when the world was all, everyone's crying about it and or doing, trends or what are they doing in lockdown, or someone's getting 2 weeks off because their company is still figuring out what to do.
Yeah.
We were just going at it, you know. We were like, there's no lock. This is just crunch. Or lockdown. But now it really...
Different rooms, yeah.
Yeah, but now it really feels like, end this, man. We went through a lot. Just let us go on a beach.
Yes.
I don't know. Let
yeah, that's... I think that's the frustrating part. It's been since February, right? So it's six months. I thought by 6 months we'll be... I mean, realistically, you know, it takes a while to get the vaccine. Like 4 years was the last fastest time.
Exactly.
So... But I don't know. For some reason, I thought 6 months was enough. And a lot of people are really struggling to kind of fathom that it's actually going to be longer at this point. It's very hard to get used to. And what's worse over here, at least in the United States, what's frustrating, you're seeing all these people not really following along. It seems like it's being extended. And I don't know about you guys, but at least my family too, like you would see family and friends just hang out and you get kind of jealous of it, right? It's like, I wish I can, but I'm smarter than that. It's like, I don't want it because that's the number one way of it spreading. It was a family gathering, but it's really tough. Like it really tests your patience and everything right now.
Even here, like even when the lockdown was strict, even with like right now, the government is still on like opening up a lot of stuff because of, I guess, the hospitals and economy is going down.
Yeah.
So, but like people just like, even when it was more strict, they were just out on the roads, like talking on their phones, just hanging about with friends, like as if nothing happened. And it was just so.
Yeah. Because what also happens is the shooting eye, we just, this is off subject slightly, is that we feed strays, dogs. So that we feed around about 150 dogs every other night. Mm-hmm. And we had to get permission from the police to go out, and we did all that. But remember when we went to Blackie and Rascal, we've known these little dogs since they're pups, but it's a compound next to the police station, and we went in there and there was like all these vehicles that have been impounded.
Yes.
Because people are just going outside, and it's like, because Indian roads are chocker, you know, and everyone's coming at all different angles, you know, vectors or whatever, and so they're just going out for the novelty to see these roads that are all empty, and it's like a ghost town, and so the police are just like, you know, nicking them for this, and it's like, you know, what are you doing?
Wow, man, yeah, that's frustrating. Yeah, I think if anything, this is a primer for the zombie apocalypse. I mean, this is why only like 5% survive, because you know 95% is just like high fiving and eating dinner with their mask. So yeah, it's the appearance of effort that bothers me the most. It's like, hey, I don't know. We're going off topic. I'll bring it back, but I just want to say this. It's just like you would see these people taking pictures, right, with their masks on. It's like, hey, we're social distancing, and then they would immediately take it off just to like put their arms around each other and say, hey, it's been a while. Right afterwards, it's like, wow. What are you doing? It takes a second, dude. But this is the craziness that's happening on top of you guys developing games. What's impressive, you guys didn't push back the date or anything. You guys just drum along. I guess more crunching. I guess we got to keep crunching. Which is what I find a lot of teams now are struggling the most. It's like, because it seems like you guys had some kind of familiarity doing meetings online and stuff. The teams who haven't are finding themselves super unproductive. Like people are just not that good at home. Like I find most people aren't, even though they dream to work from home, they just aren't because of the distractions and, you know, their favorite show is on. I mean, it's as simple as that. It's just like they find every excuse to not do work. Yeah.
You're not on Netflix on your computer, for Christ's sake. You've got several monitors. Exactly. It's like, for instance, I'm going to put Avi and Dudu here, because it's like, I don't know how people can do it. You can do it as well.
Yeah.
It's like you can watch a show on one monitor and keep working. And I cannot do that.
I'm very picky with those. I pick like, okay, this is not that great or whatever, so it can go on the second screen. That's how I do it. It's the
white noise, yeah, we'll teach you the way of laziness.
See, sometimes when you know, when I was fixing bugs, like collision bugs, which are brain dead bugs, you know, you just have to shift them and increase the thickness and just then play again, break it, or that's when you watch those things, because these are brain dead jobs. I mean, we're not doing creative jobs, then I can really do that. But if I'm doing something like, you know, creating a block out for a new level, then I can't do that. So for me, it's like that.
Yeah.
I'll let you off.
I relate. So Ian's the type that...
I need a zombie job for doing that.
No, I get you, man. Like, I think Ian's the type when he's... If he's serving prison, he's like concentrating on shoveling dirt. Like, we don't want to... We don't want to think about it. Yeah. It's like, I gotta make sure this pile is big and this hole is bigger.
Yeah, you're just cutting the line.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, it's definitely it sucks. It's gonna be another 6 months. Sorry to break to you guys. It's gonna be a little longer since you guys are number one. Yeah.
It's gonna be number
one. Yeah.
Actually, in India, it's gonna be definitely more. Yeah.
But when you're talking about teams as well, because we've got our VFX artist was in Brazil.
Right.
Had a composer in Greece, and one of the cutscene animators was in Melbourne, Australia. So, you know, we had to juggle all this, as well as when you're running the company, making sure everything's done, looking, you know, for voiceover actors, you know, the scripts, you know, and the narrative scripts has been written in conjunction, you know, because obviously we came up with a story, but then it was like, you know, we had help with that as well, and that was in the UK. So there's all these different things. There's like several plates that have always been juggled between all three of us simultaneously. So it's no mean feat. It really isn't. And also we've got our own jobs to do as well. So.
Mm-hmm. No, that's a huge help to kind of be able to have your team spread apart, because that's one of the things I feel like smaller teams are better at, because they're so used to having key team members spread across the globe, and you can't do anything but do online meetings, right, or Zoom or any of that sort to communicate, and you're kind of been kind of practicing for COVID, I guess, COVID like situations for a while now. It's so impressive that you guys stayed on course and just was able to buckle down and focus. And kind of going through with this whole cycle of changing on the fly, I'm sure you guys had these events lined up. What kind of changes did you have to make for your marketing to get your word out and everything? Like, suddenly there's a lot of virtual conferences and all this stuff to kind of help accommodate. But it's very hard, I think, for smaller teams to not have GDC or these events to be face to face and be able to talk to people at the same time.
So this is something, you don't get face-to-face feedback. That's true. But I will say, because of the pandemic, everyone's pretty much at home, or was, during the Steam Game Festival. And I can say that we got a very, very good response on the Xbox Summer of Gaming demo event and the Steam one, which happened in March, and I think one in June. And by response, I mean, we had a feedback form at the end of it. And the number of people who played this was in thousands. And so many people took time to actually write down detailed feedback. And it, of course, helps, you know, shape the game. And the part of, you know, face-to-face is missing. But somewhere we also know that not everyone will be totally honest face to face, but when they're sitting behind the computer, maybe they do get the chance to be more open. So, you know, it varies from different people. But I will say the number of events, like E3 is gone. We know that. Mm-hmm. And GDC was cancelled, postponed. And PAX is online now. yeah, these things have been affected. But I have to say, Summer of Gaming has done a pretty good job with all these events. We were part of the event with Escapist magazine. I mean, a lot of small events popped up. IGN's Summer of Gaming. And we participated in these events and they got us eyes on the project. So, you know, that worked in our favor, I would say, the online events.
But I think to add to what Avi just said, would be the biggest thing was the Indie World Showcase to be actually be chosen. Like, that was the biggest exposure to launch at for Switch and to be there on that event with other big indie companies, and it just like opened eyes.
Who were they?
Supergiant.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Heroes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it was quite an exposure for us to be on that event. With I think that also brought a lot of eyes and like helped to market and spread the game. Like,
yeah, spread the word.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you feel like this unfortunate climate kind of helped build up the fundamentals of marketing, where you take away all these, let's say, advantages that these big or small companies would have by doing face to face, and it kind of equals the level field a bit through just internet interfacing? Or do you feel like it's gotten worse because for everybody, because everyone's kind of forced to kind of email marketing and then get exposure and stuff?
Well, I suppose you're all pretty much been taken aback because of the, you know, the global pandemic, but also the same token, I think it's helped in many regards to bring the community together. And you know, we're getting inundated with interview requests and so on, which is really nice. You know, we're getting some beautiful reviews. And yeah, that help.
Yeah, I mean, I have to say I agree with Ian and on this point. It has helped us. I mean, right now it's a bit difficult to compare because, okay, let's say the pandemic was not there. Let's say E3 was still there. E3 is 3 days of, you know, I mean, I was just reading someone wrote a very sensible comment somewhere on the internet that E3 is dominated by AAA presence. And yeah, indie games who make it to E3, which has started over a few years, is a very, very few of them. But as I was saying, even small events, right, or there were a number of events which started. I think there was, forgetting names, there was Escapist Magazine, IGN's Summer of Gaming, then there was one more. And the Summer of Gaming included demos for Xbox also. So we wouldn't have had the opportunity to take the demo to Xbox, where the demo and indie games are featured on the main homepage of, you know, the store page, which, you know, you get your own section. And that wouldn't have happened, you know, in an event. We've gone with ID at Xbox to like all around the globe, basically. Mm-hmm. I don't know, 6-7 events with them. But, you know, there I feel people, not as many as people could play the game because the attention is taken by the next AAA game which is coming out and it has a huge queue of 100 people waiting to play it. But with Summer of Gaming, I mean, just using Xbox demo, you know, we got featured. All the demos got featured. There were some 60 demos. And then people, you know, it has a ripple effect. People play it. People are leaving ratings. Some people are compiling their best 5 demos. Oh, we were on Rock, Paper, Shotgun, top 5 demos, I think. And just because of that article, you know, more people found out about the game. So all those things add up. I mean, I hate to say this, but the pandemic did help, you know, change the way the industry was a couple of years ago, or last year, you can say. Mm-hmm. And maybe it's showing us a path that virtual events is the way forward. It's even less expensive for people. Yeah, it can be a pain to organize them maybe, but it's saving space. Maybe it's creating less pollution. Yeah. And it's definitely the eyeballs are there. That is due to COVID, you could say. People are at home, gamers are at home. You have more time to be distracted. There's plenty of games and demos to be distracted about. So I think that has worked in advantage of indie game devs. And I, you know, somewhere I also think 2020 is when a lot of games have been launched. I mean, we'll get to know by the end of the year. I'm sure it beats the last year by a good margin. So, you know, the visibility, I think you must have read that Steam reached, I think, 24 million concurrent users. I hope that I'm not wrong with that. But it broke its own record. And this was in April or March, I think, right when the lockdown was imposed in US. So that had never, that couldn't have happened like if we were living in a normal year. So somewhere those things have helped. But of course, now it's time, like COVID needs to go away.
Yeah, 6 months is enough.
But it won't, you know, we can keep wishing it. I was just reading a message from someone on who's a design professor about how long World War he described literally World War II, how many days it has been since COVID started. And in World War II terms, like Germany is not even invaded, France is not even invaded, USSR is still with Germany, the D-Day is 4 years ahead, and the invasion, you know, he's just saying that he was saying it to complain about people who are not wearing masks. He was like, shut up and wear your mask.
Mm-hmm.
Because your great grandfathers would be ashamed of it.
Mm-hmm. Well, thanks, Avichel, for cheering us up with that statistic. it's definitely, it's very real, right? It's in the last 6 months, the numbers are crazy, very dramatic. Might be the only time we kind of, hopefully the only time that everyone has have gone through this in their lifetime, first and last. And and then kind of talking about the long-term effects of this, you know, we're starting to see, and you were kind of getting into it a bit, where you know, a lot of people are at home now. At first it was mobile games, a lot of freemium games, but we're basically converting a lot of non-gamers into gamers in this period, right?
Oh yeah.
And naturally they're going to evolve their tastes, you know, when they stop playing Roblox to something that looks better, like at Raji, right? They're, you know, the evolution of the gamer, it's already taking place. A lot of Fortnite, you know, last year we saw Fortnite, a lot of people are a lot of kids especially are converting to different games. So I mean, the industry as a whole is benefiting. What I am curious about is on the game developer side. So like, I still don't know what this effect looks like. It sounds like very much like you guys, everyone, although there are advantages at working from home, everyone's kind of rushing for a change of pace. Like I have no choice. I work from home, so it's like I can leave my house and go back in, and that's me back to my pre-pandemic days, right? But for you guys, mm-hmm. you know, if you guys had an office before, everyone's kind of rushing back in the office a little to work to kind of take a break from home, I would imagine. Or at least I would also see on the other side a lot of developers who don't see the advantages too much of being 5 days in the office anymore. I think there's going to be some kind of hybrid discussion with most workplaces to be like, hey, we were doing this for 2 years. Why are we here right now? Why can't I take Fridays and Mondays off or something? So I think that
there is
that's going to be something like that. Yeah.
There's a AAA developer, I'm forgetting who, but I read that they have declared work from home for entire 2021.
Yeah. a lot of places.
I don't know who it is, but yeah, it's something. I mean, we can just look at Spanish flu. It lasted for 3 years and almost 4 years. So, well.
Avi, you're being very optimistic. Like,
obviously, the engineer is being very realistic. Like, this is the way it is.
So yeah, at least we can. So I'm counting on getting in a car and going to a local beach in Maharashtra where we are staying. At least that can be done, right?
Right.
I'm just saying, be a little optimistic for the world. I'm saying, like,
So that's not going to change the real what's actually happening.
Yeah. Well, I agree with Avi, man. Like, even with the vaccine being rushed out right now, like, everyone, like, it's passing through all these regular guidelines that we usually do the test things.
It's gonna come.
Would you want to be the first one who takes this? I mean, that's how the zombie apocalypse happened in many movies before, right? It's just like taking this untested drug that everyone takes at once. So it's even if there is a vaccine that they're rushing by the end of the year. Yeah, I mean, game developers, gamers. Say what?
It probably won't be any good anyway if they're rushing it through. So.
Exactly. Like,
it's going to come with a disclaimer.
I know. Exactly. And I think that's the reality. We just have to, at the very most, we can maybe extend our bubble a bit for the next year, but it's not going to be, I think, 2022 or thereafter, where if you're not used to this by now, start getting used to it is the best way, because we're not at the end. And for game developers, I think for a lot of people, especially my family, outside of this household, because I got this household to check, no one leaves, right? Everybody is, I think, holding on to hope too much, where I think that's how, you know, people like Avi don't break, because they... he's already putting his feet up for the next 4 years. But it's the people who think, like, next month is going to, you know, everything's going to be all good and chill. Those are the people that break. And I'm seeing it. People are so frustrated right now because they think next month is going to be the end of it.
Yeah. I already made a plan that because of Raji, I've lost. There's so much backtracking and backlog of movies, games.
Oh, books. Yeah.
So I've already made a plan, like, you know, now is the time to catch up. Time.
Exactly, dude.
Like, the development is over, most of it. So I'm, you know, I'm actually trying to watch a movie per day.
Basically designed his entire
vacation.
Like, he's thinking as a designer, okay, this is what gonna be next.
Yeah, staycation.
So the designer's have to know the system to beat it, right? So we know that this is not going to get over for 3-4 years.
Yeah. So, it's true. Yeah,
the thing is, though, Brandon, this is no different for us, because we've been in this, doing this for 4 years.
Three and a half.
Almost 4 years in January.
Yeah.
You know, four walls, monitor.
And prison.
At least had a fight, at least I could walk out.
You get that corner, I get this one. Let's just chill.
You know, the breaks we took, like, it's been like 1 year since the last break. I think more than 1 year. Those were, for us, they were never actual breaks, because there's a milestone and then there's the financial stress.
Mm-hmm.
And it just feels a one big massive crunch, you know, and it's just the intensity keeps increasing towards the end of the line. But I'm happy that at least we even COVID happened or whatever happened, we got it done somehow, and we got it done good. And now to the next one, which is October 15th for PC, Xbox and PS4.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we should be good.
Yeah, the thrill of any development has always been about the ups and downs, because those are the biggest risks and rewards. I mean, those are the only things that are worth doing. You don't want to stay at a, like a steady pace. It's a lousy way.
Even if you try
life.
Yeah.
Even if you try, game development doesn't work that way. Yeah. So we're about the in the hour mark, and I want to thank you guys for coming on and chatting with me. I mean, this is what I live for now, just talking to people that isn't my wife or kids. It's just anybody else, please. So it was a nice change of pace to talk to adults. And I want to ask you guys one last question before we kind of send you guys off. So a lot of listeners out there, viewers out there, you know, are curious, are in the crux of indie development during this crazy time. If you guys have any word advice, we'll go around the table to best stay the course, stay motivated. I mean, Avi is just pretty much saying queue up all those shows that you never wanted to watch for the next 4 years. Anything to kind of help developers right now figure this out. It can be through marketing, it can be through game development or anything. Because we're, if any, everybody,
I have a way nice,
yeah,
I have a very nice tip for all the game developers.
Okay,
go to your Steam library and look at your backlog.
Yeah,
all the games you bought and never played. They're looking, yeah, staring at your soul right now.
Yeah, all that all that shame stacked up can now be your salvation. all that money that you spent that you never played should be helpful. No, you're right, man. There's a lot of things I think internally that people have to look for right now to kind of pass the time.
Yeah, but you know, I say that, but the balance is destroyed. Like, even for us, right? You know, for me, like, to watch a movie, like, I know if someone recommends me and tells me this movie is like amazing and this and that, yeah, I have to find, you know, my time and space. I don't want to do it before a meeting, or I don't want to do it right after, you know, like there's some work to do.
Yeah.
I want to set, like, there's nothing to do and I can enjoy this movie, but that's like never happened. So,
you know, that's a good that thing. Explains, you're so busy now.
Yeah.
Man. Yeah.
So yeah. I'm looking forward to that moment, which is, I think, in December. You know, I'm thinking that far, and then I can actually do that.
But Avi, if you have to give an advice, what would it be? Stop again going into gaming.
Third World War.
Yeah.
So the advice for game developers to how to deal with COVID is that, sorry, I've lost the question.
No, just any advice to game developers, listeners out there, how to keep on game developing, how to best healthy practices, things that you guys found that helped you ship the game to your original date. That's amazing. I think you're one of 10 people, honestly, that have stayed the course, and somehow pandemic just, you're just like swatting flies, didn't bother you guys.
And that's a hard
one. Me, it would be like at a time like this where the community grows more stronger, like for me at least, is I find motivation when I see I look at the work of other artists and I'm seeing, right, that they're also making through it. Like, it's, you either talk to fellow artists or actually watch out for the companies that you look up to and how they're getting through it. And like, even I know it's difficult time for everyone, we're all humans here, but it's just to have that touch and to know, like, to get that little ray of hope and motivation from others, that if that little push can always help you through doing your work through the day and just, yeah, giving extra push, I guess. That's for me.
Yeah. For me, oh God, I don't know, I've just gone brain dead. It's because we've just been going at this for 3.5 years or whatever. Well, actually, we actually started a project in 2018, in October 2018. Mm-hmm. So it's been an absolute onslaught from then until now. I don't know, it's just passion. Mm-hmm. Just go for it. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, you've got your own story to tell. Tell it how you want to, and don't apologize.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, pretend there's no pandemic. There's nothing.
There's no World War II statistics to look at.
Yeah, but always start going out. Don't do that.
Yeah, wear a mask.
No, I'm saying pretend that when you're in, at home and, you know, you're working on your game. And follow a routine. Working out is important. Eat healthy. Don't trash eat like a raccoon like I did. And if you have pets, take care of them. Spend time with them. And keep your place clean, healthy, hygienic, all that, you know.
Yeah, it just helps you with that extra, like do things that just puts you a little bit at ease and takes you a little bit away from your daily job grind. And the table that you have to sit in. Yeah, like you, whether it's reading a book or watch something that takes your mind off, or just like Avi said, like for us, it's our dogs. It just takes us a little bit, releases that tension and just gives us a little bit of happiness and lets us get on with our job. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's a huge, huge component. And I totally agree with you guys, especially now. I think if anything, it's a time to focus on ourselves individually. Wear a mask and stuff. But like, I think right now, if anything, it really focuses on what I find out is I understand now why celebrities have their house all pimped out, right? Or like the things that matters is within reach. Like everything else is a distraction. So I understand. I get it now. It's like now that you can't leave the house, can you operate and function? And you should. I think as a person, you should be able to be okay with yourself and be like that prisoner and be productive, right? You can either be that productive one who, or one that goes crazy within the four walls and ceiling.
Actually, that brings to this fact that I love like plants a lot, but with the lockdown, just my plant collection grew more.
He was like, one more lockdown, five more plants.
And I'm just there and waiting in the car, and I'm just thinking, oh, she's just gone in to ask for just one thing. And then she comes out.
It comes out with a whole guard. Yeah, it's true.
Brandon.
Yeah, the place looks good, right?
I complain incessantly about it. I really do. It's like, you know, more plants, but it's like, you know, it's like a jungle.
I was going to add to what you said about productivity. Sometimes it's okay for people to just have their day off, because there was a lot of this talk going when the lockdown started that some people are doing crazy stuff and they took courses, which is great, you know, but not everyone is the same and not everyone can cope up with how this is going. So not everyone needs to be productive 100%.
You guys 200%. Aren't writing a book too? I thought everybody's writing a book. Suddenly everyone's an author. Yeah, it's a thing.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, people need to breathe, like just breathe, focus on one thing.
That's the thing, yeah.
Wear a mask.
Yeah, wear a mask. But one last thing before I send off, just to tag on what you're saying. It's very true. Now that I'm looking as my kid, you know, at my kid as like not just someone that bothers me, but like, wow, you know, I'm doing something for the people around me, right? You kind of have to like take a break and realize like what is the point of life at some time outside of work, right? And I think the pandemic actually taught you that, because you can't just do your work 24/7. It's like this is the rare opportunity that you can really spend time with your family to this extent, right? You're forced to kind of figure all that stuff that you buried or like you can just delay from just getting a cup of coffee outside, right? These are all things that you have to face, problems with people and with yourself. Yeah.
With everything that you're saying there, Shruti's looking at me with a side glance, saying, Ian, listen. Stop working 24/7. Stop being a perfectionist. Stop doing this, blah, blah, blah. Have time off. Do whatever. But it's funny when Abby's saying have time off and whatever, because it's like we've been going at this for so long without weekends and so on. Mm-hmm. You know, it's our first project. We want to make a great impression. We want to deliver the best quality all the way through design, everything. And so, you know, we sacrifice so much. And it's like, you know, the thought of taking a day off, it never crosses, well, some minds like mine. Mm-hmm. And then when I do take a day off, I feel guilty.
Yeah.
Ian's games launched now.
I know it's launched now.
Yeah. I would agree with you maybe before 18th August, but the game launched on 18th August, okay?
Yeah. Avi's been watching a full movie during this interview, so he's we're not even the focus for him right now, so you'll learn from Avi.
Monitors everywhere.
Yeah, yeah. We're not even a full monitor. We're just a small window right now for him.
We just cut off your internet one day, maybe then you will be forced even further into darkness.
Yeah, thanks, mate.
Well,
you'll be tending plants and you know. You'll be there. I think so.
I tried that one day. It didn't work.
I
said,
killed them.
Do it yourself. I'm not talking with anything.
It's a very careful thing. Yeah.
Make some tea for the plants.
Well, I want to thank you guys for your time. This is actually the part of the podcast where I kind of hand the mic over to you guys to share, to give a shout out to our listeners and viewers out there of whatever you want to share. I have a slight idea, but I'm going to hand the mic to your team and you guys can go around the table and talk about whatever you guys want to talk about.
We did talk about so many things, right?
Yeah. Where can they find the game? Let's start with that.
Okay. Thank you for that hint. So the game's launched on Nintendo Switch and it's on the eShop. And you guys can just go search Raji, an ancient epic, and you should see it. And for everyone who's thinking, what about PC, PS4, Xbox? The game's launching on October 15th. And you guys can follow us on social media, on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram, or Reddit, Raji the Game, and you will find us. Or go to our website, rajithegame.com.
You're brilliant, you are. You're like a little billboard. Yeah, you've been rehearsing that. I'm here, aren't you?
He's on whenever he wants to, yeah. Well, I want to thank you guys for your time. Like, before I send you out, you guys want to say something first, Ian and Trudy?
I just want to say thank you to all the fans and everyone that's been, especially, you know, with the Kickstarter, because that was in 2017. Yeah, and then we had to cancel that. But we've been keeping everyone updated as well. And we've just been getting so much love from everyone and for everyone saying not to give up, keep going. Family, the family have been brilliant. You know, again, the dream, you know, the what if, it will be in the back of your mind, you know, back of your mind for the rest of your life if you don't do this. So, yeah, it's just the fans. And the people like Epic that do the grants, we couldn't have been where we are without them, because in, you know, 2018 we got a grant there that helps out immensely. Mm-hmm. And Nvidia for their support, and there's someone else that I'm forgetting. Who am I forgetting?
I would just like to say that I hope whoever is going to play the game on October 15th or on Switch, I hope they enjoy the game. Like, we've really put our heart and soul into it. It's a story that's really close to our heart.
Yeah.
And we hope everyone else as well enjoys the game. And it's a special story because it also showcases Hindu and Balinese mythology, something that's not delved into. So that's hope people sees and finds interest in the story and the things that we are trying to say through the game. So yeah. I just really hope that everybody loves it.
Yeah. Yeah. We've poured everything into it. Yeah. We just want to say thank you.
Well, I want to thank you guys on behalf of everybody that's listening to come on and share your story and knowledge, especially the game in between like alien invasions and World War II and zombies. It's very refreshing, yeah. And it gives me a lot of excitement to see these type of games like Raji coming out, because there's a whole part of other history besides Western that needs to be told. And I, for one, am very looking forward to the PC version. I'm a PC player and can't wait to play it, guys. Thank you again for coming on.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for having us, Brandon. This was a good one.
Yeah, okay. Really enjoyed it. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, guys. Have a good one.
And you.
You too. Bye-bye.
Take care.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to today's episode. If you are liking the podcast, go to the Apple iTunes store and give Game Dev Unchained a 5-star rating. This will help spread the joy and love and exposure for the podcast, and we thank you very much. If you want to continue the conversation, go to our Discord, which can be found on our website, www.gamedevunchained.com. You can also follow me on Twitter at BlueChamps, BlueChamps. You want to catch these episodes live every Tuesdays and Thursdays, go to twitch.tv/blue_champs. Email me any of your concerns or questions that you want me to read aloud at the beginning of each episode at info@gamedevunchained.com. And if you want to further support us and help unlock the next feature, which is the voicemail feature, go to patreon.com/BlueChamps. This gives listeners a chance to kind of call in, leave a message for both me and the guests to answer your deepest, darkest questions and comment on your deepest, darkest secrets. Thank you, everybody.